God's word tells us that there were a group of shepherds that the angels came to with a message. And that's where we ended off with verse 14. And now we're going to pick it up there in verse 15. And I'll read verse 15 and 16. You follow along, please. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, and here's where we find our theme for tonight, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Aren't you glad the Lord has also made it known unto you? You weren't a shepherd on the night he was born, but you were somebody that God got the gospel to, the message to, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so you can say, well, I'm not one of those guys looking after sheep, but God made it known unto me that Jesus came, was born, lived a sinless life, died and was buried and then rose again. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, and they came with haste. Now we notice a couple of things. In verse 15, our theme, we see they said one to another. We'll talk about it in a minute. Let us now go. And then we see in verse 16, they came with haste. I like that. That's action. Movement. And getting it going. I mean, they had something on their mind. They knew it was important, and it wasn't, well, I'll deal with it later. You know, they just had a whole choir of angels show up out of nowhere, kind of like this choir right here, you know? He probably sang just as good as those angels did, right? And they made haste. Where did they go? They found Mary. They went to Bethlehem and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I'll take just a few minutes to speak to you on this theme. Let us now go. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the music and these hymns, Lord. They speak to our hearts. They remind us of different times of our life, of your faithfulness. And obviously, you're faithful today, too. Lord, we thank you that you made it known unto us. Lord, I pray again, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know Christ as Savior, they see that he's been born of a baby, but that's not the end result. The end result is that he would die for our sins. I pray, Lord, that they too, like the shepherds, would let us now go. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said earlier, the shepherds had just received the most amazing news from this group of angels. The Bible says it was a heavenly host in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel, one angel, then a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and then so forth and so on. And so who knows how many people were in that group? Small, I don't know. I don't know exactly how many. It doesn't really matter. But all of a sudden, there's a big group of people, and they're singing. And these angels, I mean, pardon me. And they were sent by God with a message. And the message wasn't vague. The message wasn't confusing. The message was very clear. And we read what that message was. And they did a great job proclaiming the message. And notice what it says here. It says that they were telling the shepherds that God's son would be arriving, or really had arrived, in Bethlehem. I want you to hold your finger in Luke chapter 2 and go back to the Old Testament prophet of Micah. Many of you know this, but let's see it once again, and maybe it'll be new for someone else. Micah chapter number 5. And here we find the Old Testament minor prophet, inspired scripture, but yet hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, we can find in the Old Testament where he was going to be born. Look at Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, we'll look at those words here in just a minute, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, and really Bethlehem, if you look it up and you study it, Bethlehem was not a booming town. It wasn't like the big metropolis. It wasn't that well known. It is for us because we know, you know, Bethlehem, that's where Jesus was born. But I'm talking about in this day, Micah said, you're little, you're not that much. But even though you're little, right, the songwriter, he didn't know about that one though, did he? Little is much when God is in it. He said, even though you're little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he, Jesus, come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Notice this, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us where Jesus would be born. Bethlehem Ephrathah. We'll look at those two words here in just a minute. But it also tells us that Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem. That was not his beginning. We believe, according to the Bible, that Jesus is God. Somebody was telling me that earlier today, just in this before we started, and it was good preaching. It was actually teaching because a lady was telling me. And Jesus is God, and we believe that, the fact that Jesus is God. And so that means he did not begin at Bethlehem. It means he began, if you will, is to take on human the human flesh and became a baby and was born in Bethlehem. But he was already, it already existed, and Micah tells us that. So look at these two words, Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. We know from other scripture in the Gospel of John that Jesus is the bread of life. So the bread of life was born in the house of bread. You know, maybe God kind of had something to do with that. You think God might have had a plan in place? No, God did have a plan in place. God always has a plan in place. And God's plan will work to fruition. It will come to be. And so we don't just look at the Bible and say, well, it's just a bunch of words put together. No, this is God's plan. This is basic instructions before leaving earth. This is specific. And so Bethlehem is the house of bread. Then Ephrathah. Ephrathah means fruitfulness or abundance. So think about those two words together. House of bread, house of abundant bread, house of fruitfulness. And so we see a beautiful picture there and of where Jesus was born. Let's get back to Luke chapter 2. Now the angels leave. Again, use your sanctified imagination a little bit. The angels leave. And I mean, that was just an amazing thing that just happened. Have you ever been involved in something where something just really amazing happens and then it's over and you think, wow, I can't believe that just happened. I can't believe this just happened. I mean, it's happened in your life. It's happened in my life. It just takes us a minute to maybe remember what it was. This is definitely one that they were going to be telling, you know, Junior and then, you know, generations beyond that, oh, you're not going to believe this. And then the neighbors, you know, you're not going to believe this, what just happened. Well, now the angels are gone. And I found it very interesting as I was reading this that the Bible says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. So there's a little powwow. I can't believe we just saw what we just saw. I don't know what they said. It doesn't tell us. But then, I love what it says here. Let us now go. It did not say, let us maybe delay a little bit and then we'll go. It did not say, let us kind of process what all just happened and then we'll go. Let us go and talk to the rabbi and then we'll go. Let us go and no. Let us go now. Not tomorrow, not in a week, not in a month. Let us go now. I think there's something important about that, and we could use the word urgency. It's good to be urgent. It doesn't mean panic. That's not urgent. Okay, when we're walking and talking with the things of the Lord, we don't need to panic. Pardon me. We don't need to panic if I can talk, all right? Something didn't go down quite right there. But we do need to be urgent. We need to be urgent about living for God. We do need to be urgent about glorifying God. We do need to be urgent about being ready for Jesus' return. We need to be urgent about getting our own life ready. Are we ready for even death? I'm sorry. Are we ready for death? Even in our you know, humble abode here, we all have different connections and times where different people have just suddenly died. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to be all that tonight, because some even in this room have experienced that. And I'm so thankful that the people, most of the people at least that I know that had that, they were ready. And they were ready to go. I mean, that wasn't what they planned necessarily that way in that time, but they were ready and now they're with the Lord. And we'll be reunited with them, you know, probably, who knows, very soon. And, of course, our dear missionary family over in Uganda, not, you know, obviously love the Lord, serving the Lord. But no plan of that, no schedule of that. But they were ready. Why? Because today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Urgency. We'll talk about that in a minute. There was no hesitation. So I'd like to give you three things tonight, and I'll be done on time, that each of us need to be urgent about getting to Jesus. In other words, they were urgent about getting to Bethlehem, but they were urgent about getting to Jesus. Number one, I just started to talk about it. We need to be urgent about getting to Jesus as our Savior. As our Savior. Hold your finger and go to Matthew chapter number one, another account of Jesus' birth prior to it, actually. Our Savior. We need to be urgent about this thing. So every one of us here tonight, even if you're saved, just think back to it. Thank God for it, that you are, that He already is your Savior. But is He your Savior tonight? That is the question you must ask yourself. Look at verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1. And she shall bring forth a son, Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why are we going to call him Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save, he shall save, he shall save his people. By the way, if you are one that calls on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Then you are one of his people. You are one of his people, because this is not just for the Jew. This is also for the Gentile, that all men might come to the knowledge of the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you tonight to really think about it, especially if we're of age and we understand, you know, we've got to understand sin. We've got to understand the price of sin. What is sin? Anything that we say or do or think that goes against the word of God. And everyone's a sinner. How do you know that? God's word tells us that. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you cannot become saved until you know why you need to be saved. But I'll tell you what, everybody in this room, even the baby that's here or the youth that are here, they don't understand. They don't reach that age of accountability, but they do need to be saved. There will come a time in their life where they recognize, you know what, I realize now that I kind of like this disobeying thing, or you know, we're all mischievous like that, right? I kind of like pulling my sister's hair. I kind of like doing these things, right? I kind of like just not cleaning my room when mom and dad tell me to. That's the old flesh, right? And so when we recognize that, then we know that sin is in our life and we need a Savior. I'm thankful tonight that we talk about the Savior not just in 1 week every year. We talk about the Savior 52 weeks here at Anchor Baptist Church. And I'm so thankful that we have a Savior to talk about. But we've got to make haste about this thing. Okay? That doesn't mean we push somebody into making a decision. That's not what I'm talking about. But you, yourself tonight, need to look in the gospel mirror and need to ask yourself, am I ready to leave? Am I ready to die? I know it's kind of not a nice thing to say on Christmas Eve, but it's the truth. We need to, the disciples said, let us go now. Let us now go. It's kind of mixed up. I was kind of getting confused with that earlier today. Let us now go. And then they said in verse number 16, and they came with haste. You know, time's fleeting. I probably have fewer days ahead of me than behind me. I don't think I'll make it to 104, so I can pretty much guarantee you I can say that. Unless I can get a real nice cane or something and wheel up here to 104 and keep preaching. I don't think it'll be in this building anyway. But hey, urgency. We need to be urgent about knowing that Christ is our Savior. Do you know that tonight? Not did your mom tell you he was. Do you know that? Not did the pastor or the youth pastor or somebody tell you that you know that. Do you know that? And if you don't know that, I know we're going to end the service in just 12 minutes. I'm going to be done in 12 minutes or less. But don't leave this building if you don't know that. Speak to someone. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's not a baptism. It's not a rubbing of a bead or a cross. It's not praying to anybody, Mary or anybody. No, it's not doing good. It's coming to recognize that I am a sinner. And these beautiful songs that we sang told a lot of the gospel message in them. And that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived a sinless life and went to the cross for me. We need to be urgent in our own life. Then, of course, we need to be urgent in the life of other people. To tell them. It's why I don't know how many thousand gospel tracts, praise the Lord. It's not about how many, it's just get them out there and let God do the work. And these packets of New Testaments to the first responders, again, pray about that. I know we've done almost all of them, a few to go, but let's keep praying about it. Even today, some more were delivered. Why are we doing all of this? Why don't we just enjoy and come and, you know, kick back and drink a coffee and have a Timbit or whatever? We can do that. That's fine. But we need to be urgent about getting the gospel message. Because again, life is a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. So number one, we need to be urgent about having Christ as our Savior. Number two, turn with me to the most famous psalm in all the Bible, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and you know, you could preach messages from this psalm. Many have, but we're not doing that tonight. I have one page of notes, folks. It's okay. Put your shoes on, ladies, all right? Put your shoes on, Pastor. We need to be urgent about getting Jesus Christ to be our shepherd. Our shepherd. You know, a lot of people get saved, but then they don't want a shepherd. You know, a shepherd corrects, right? That's what that staff is for, you know, right? That hook on the shepherd's staff to reach down and pull up that sheep that's, you know, going the wrong way, or, you know, it's got a mind of its own. I guess all sheep do. Like me, we're sheep, right? But we need a shepherd, and we need to be urgent about this thing. That when we get saved, it's not just get saved, pray a prayer, and nothing changes. That's not really salvation anyway, quite frankly. But when we get saved, we know, you know what? I need a shepherd. I need somebody to guide me. Psalm 23. I'll read it. Please read it to yourself silently and even quietly. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every believer needs the great shepherd. And we need to be urgent about that. And the way that we do that is we keep our nose in the Word of God. We keep our mind clear as possible. And the last one, we'll tie it together, all of it together, at least last two as Christians. But we need to be urgent about it. The shepherds said, let us now go. And they came with haste to the city of bread, lots of bread, to see the bread of life. Are you saved? Don't put it off. You say, I've got lots of time. You don't know that. We don't know that. I don't know that. But I know this. When I was nine, I put my faith in Christ Jesus as my personal Savior with a childlike faith. And 43 years later, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Not because I'm a pastor or got baptized, none of that. Because of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Urgency. And then I need a shepherd, though. You know, this world we live in, it's tough. Let's face it. You know, it's tough. But we have a shepherd. We have a great shepherd. And I'm so thankful to be an under-shepherd. And that is a relationship that you need in your life as well, to have a close relationship with your under-shepherd as well, the pastor that God has put in your life. Be urgent about that. Be urgent about that. Number one, the great shepherd, but also the under-shepherd that God has put in our life. And then lastly, let's go to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, I had to take a little bit of creativity to have three S's, you know. I'm not always into that, but, you know, sometimes. So it doesn't quite work, but you'll get it. Not changing the Bible. Yes, thank you. Number three, we need to be urgent about getting to Jesus Christ as our shalom. Shalom. What is shalom? Peace. So you can just put peace if you want, but it doesn't start with an S. For unto us a child is born, 9:6, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Well, you know the Hallelujah chorus? What a, man, I would love to just be in a choir one day that sings that thing and just stand up there and blast it out. I mean, it wouldn't be very good, sound very good for me, but I love that. I love that powerful word, don't you? His name shall be called. I'm kind of hearing it right now. Wonderful. Don't worry. I'm not going to break out. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There it is, peace. You know what? A lot of people, they run to a lot of places to try to find peace. They're urgent about it. And they might be running there even tonight if the places are still open. It's kind of sad, isn't it? It's not kind of sad. It is sad. There's no peace there. You know, there's no peace. But where is there peace? When we make a mad dash, urgent. Let us now go. And they made haste. Where were they going to see? The Savior. They were going to see the Savior. They were going to see the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And they were also going to see Shalom. They were going to see the Prince of Peace. Now, we cannot have a shepherd and we cannot have peace or Shalom without having number one. You cannot say, well, I like that, you know, idea of having peace. Maybe most of us here tonight would say, yes, I really want peace. You can't have peace apart from the Savior. It's impossible. It's only temporary. It's only a temporary fulfillment of what only God can give us. And as we go through the most challenging of times, if we are making a urgent matter of being near the Lord, and that peace, the shalom, will come from that relationship with the Lord, it will help us in those times of great difficulty and challenge. The shepherd said, let us now go. What do you need to be urgent about tonight? Are you saved? Get saved tonight. I can't make you. No one can make you. All you have to do is humble yourself. Bow the knee in your heart and say yes to Jesus. Don't wait. Do you need to be urgent about having the great shepherd leading your life? It's hard to know where to turn sometimes, isn't it? We need the great shepherd. The great shepherd, he's already been there. He's already been in that meadow. He's already been in that valley. He's been on the mountaintop. He's been in all those places. That's what the shepherd, how he can guide the sheep, because he's already been there. And then shalom. Do we need peace? He's the Prince of Peace. Let's pray together.